You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on February 3rd, 2006.
After 6 or 7 decades in which the coyote has developed a healthy population in New York without serious reaction, a wave of concern is spreading across settled areas of the state. The principal complaint is the disappearance of pet dogs and cats, with incontrovertible evidence that coyotes have been involved in many instances. It isn't just where suburban sprawl has brought people into areas coyotes already occupy. Coyotes now seem emboldened to forage in established residential areas. I grew up in the Ontario Lake Plains, about 35 miles west of Rochester. My first recollection of coyotes came in the 1930s. Back then, even the conservation officials pooh-poohed the reports, calling the sightings mostly by farmers and hunters feral police dogs. In those days, people did not know how to identify a coyote in the field. Finally, a number of years later, a specimen was identified as a coyote. It was the belief then that the coyote was brought east as a pup and then liberated because it proved a poor pet. In fact, however, the coyote was spreading eastward, especially in Canada, and was about to move into New York State. After World War II, I completed my college degree and headed north to Syracuse for my first professional position. I was surprised to find that there were several small populations within my territory. The general public seemed totally unaware of them. Sportsmen, however, were becoming concerned. They feared serious effects on the small game populations. No one at that time expressed any concern over depredations on deer or pets. The idea was that the coyotes subsisted on small mammals, birds, amphibians, insects, fruit, and carrion. Although they do prey on livestock, that role has probably been exaggerated. On the other hand, their ability to prosper in spite of bounties, trapping, poisoning, and hunting has become legendary. Adaptability and recuperative power have served the coyote well. In half a century, it has progressed from an innocuous and largely unseen woodland and farm animal to an unwelcome frequenter of suburbia. In some parts of the country, coyotes are frequent shadow visitants in urban settings, feeding on rats, pigeons, fruits where available, and scavenging dead animals. Many parents of small children are seriously concerned about the safety of their own neighborhoods because of coyotes. Coyotes are largely nocturnal. Awareness of their presence centers on their dawn and dusk and nighttime song fests. Apparently, these serve the purpose of orienting the larger family group to the whereabouts of their scattered members. Coyotes are normally solitary hunters, but are known at times to share a hunt with one or two companions. Eastern coyotes are larger than their western counterparts, and therefore are not limited to the small prey of their Midwestern relatives. The evidence of deer remains in their droppings around dens and in the stomachs of dead coyotes have led to the conclusions that they represent more than just scavenging on dead carcasses. Bob Chambers, professor emeritus at ESF, has noted wolf-like characteristics in his measurements of skulls and skeletal structure. DNA studies seem to confirm this. In addition to being a canny survivor, the coyote is tremendously prolific. While litters of 5 to 7 are common, the female is capable of producing more than a dozen young at one time. With a potential lifespan similar to that of a dog, a single female could produce 4 or 5 dozen young in a lifetime. Of course, the lifespan in the wild is probably about half the potential, but that still represents a fecundity sufficient to help explain the coyote's success, even where the environment could be considered inappropriate. Biologists, who are wildlife rehabilitators, all seem to have at least a grudging admiration for the coyote. They seem to think that concerns about the danger to humans from coyotes is minimal. Those who have dealt with coyotes personally have not experienced aggression. I could find no verified reports of coyote attacks on humans, and the opinion seems to be that depredations on pets are local and episodic, not epidemic. Both people and deer in our area have much more to fear from feral dogs than from coyotes. Still, coyotes have a reputation for intelligence and adaptability that indicates that their presence in a neighborhood should not be taken lightly. Although they are not considered to be important predators on deer in central New York, deer have become a principal food source for Adirondack coyotes. With growing coyote populations and growing occupation of previously sparsely populated areas by people, this tension between people and coyotes is bound to grow and spread. Still, the coyote is a survivor. It may be difficult to dislodge. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.